Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome. This is Tarter 24/7, the UNC Basketball Podcast. Make sure to like, share, and subscribe to Tar Heel 24/7 on YouTube and subscribe on the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you stream your stuff at. Want to welcome in right away 24/7 Sports Director of Scouting, Adam Finkelstein. How are we doing?
Doing great, man. How you doing?
Good. Before we get into all the basketball, how's the summer going? What are you up to? Kind of thing, you know, what's the summer like for the, you know, director of scouting? Do you ever get any rest?
You know, here's the thing. I watch basketball for a living. So, like, I saw a great quote the other day. It said something like, how lucky are you to be tired from the stuff you used to dream about doing? So
for sure.
That's kind of how I feel. So no, I work a lot, but it feels like it's what I would be doing for fun if I had like an insurance job or something. So you're not going to hear me complain about it.
Yeah. You know, this is kind of my first full-time year with CBS, calling games, studio, doing this stuff. So, you know, I was really busy and kind of tired. Now I'm like super, super bored as things have slowed down.
Yeah.
So actually being more busy, I would love. So I'm kind of jealous of you right now. Well, let's get into it. UNC lands big man from Europe, Sion Keita, I believe is how you pronounce his name. Born in Mali, a part of the 2027 class, expected to reclassify. 18 years old, moved to Spain 4 years ago, joined FC Barcelona, playing in Liga ACB, Barcelona, all that good stuff. Kind of tell me about him from a scouting perspective, what you've seen or what you know about this kid.
So we got to see him live last year at the NBA PA Top 100 camp in June. So a lot of people, college coaches, saw him here. Plenty of people have seen him, you know, internationally. But even for those who haven't, you got a good look at him here. He measured at that NBPA camp. He measured just under 6'11" with a 7'7" wingspan, which is just freakish. So like +8 wingspan. Standing reach was 9'4.5", 9 feet, 4.5 inches. So just crazy, crazy stuff.
I think now, that's mine. I think I'm 9'4.5", maybe.
Okay.
I measured that in the draft.
Okay. Maybe he's got a little Henson in him. We'll see.
When I go into places and there's 10-foot ceilings, I always put my arms up like, okay, they're not lying.
Yeah, I don't have that issue. That's not.
He might be. Listen, man, he might be. I mean, that might be off because he has longer arms than me and he's taller. So maybe we'll see when the draft comes.
All right. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. You see enough measurements over the years. First of all, people just have a tendency to make those up. And even when you find ones that are actually like verified, like. I have the data from the NBA PA Top 100 camp, and I looked it up right before we came on. So this was done by a professional group, but even those tend to fluctuate a little bit. So anyway, the bottom line is he's big, he's long, he's athletic, he's super mobile. I mean, like, he can really, really move for his size. And what I tweeted, what I posted on social media last night, that he would be the number one center in the class if he were in the 2026 recruiting class. I meant that very literally. When you look at the centers in that class, Erfan Dion going to Houston, Darius Ratliff going to USC, Ethan Taylor going to Michigan State, he is more talented and a better long-term prospect than any of those guys. he's also younger, and he's also going to require some patience, even though I do expect that he will be very interested in a one-and-done pathway, and there will be plenty of NBA intrigue in him right away. So I think that, you know, he's not Henry Vassar. Like, let's start there. He's better than any high school big man coming in.
For sure.
But he's not Vassar. So it's somewhere in the middle. In terms of the archetype, he's also very different than Vassar. This guy's a rim runner, a lob threat, someone who is going to rely on his athleticism, but who needs to get stronger and who doesn't have that same floor spacing ability. I'm not sure that anybody does, any big in the country. So it's a different type of archetype. It's a fantastic long-term prospect, but someone who's young and who needs to get stronger.
Yeah, I watch some YouTube stuff of him. Good hands, good feel, actually. You know, when you get these guys from these other countries, especially African countries, right, sometimes they just haven't started playing, so their feel for the game is a little off. So I kind of saw that, which I enjoyed. He has a good feel. He's making the right plays, which comes from good coaching from one of the top clubs in Europe. Bouncy. And he's got a nice stroke. Now, I don't know if Coach Malone's one of us shoot a three, but he doesn't have just terrible stroke from the line. He hit a couple jump shots. So I'm just curious as to, you know, and he played minutes for Barcelona.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Real minutes. So how long has he popped on your radar before, or this is kind of like all happening super fast?
So he's been on the radar. He's been getting recruited for the better part of last year. And you go back to that NBPA camp last June, okay, and the two schools that were most typically associated with him at that point were Duke and UConn. And I think UConn was in a situation where they were losing Terrace Reed. The hope was that Eric Riba would come in and be able to, you know, make enough strides to take over for Reed. But UConn's always done center by tandem. You know, they've always had two centers. And a Kida-Riba combo would offer two different types of centers. So that made a lot of sense historically for what UConn does. And then Duke, obviously, this is a class, as I said, that did not have the big-time center prospects. So I think Duke recognized real early on that, hey, he's going to be better than any options there are stateside. We'll see what happens with Patrick Amba. You know, but just generally speaking, there weren't going to be a whole lot of better options domestically. So early on, we familiarized ourselves with him just because he was, you know, associated with two of the biggest programs in college basketball. North Carolina wasn't necessarily as connected at that time, but obviously still ends up at one of the biggest programs in college basketball.
Yeah, I think, I mean, just from his size and length, I mean, he's going to be effective at the college game. It just is what it is now. You know, he may not be pretty some days, but, you know, as far as a prospect, what do you see as a successful year? And I mean, you know, potential is everything. If he averages 9 and 7 and with some spectacular plays, is he become like kind of a lottery pick type of guy?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of a disconnect there. And I've already seen some stuff on social media for Tar Heel fans, like weighing the now versus the future, because the fans want somebody who can help you get to a Final Four right away, right? I mean, if Vassar had come back, that was the upside. Like, hey, this is now a Final Four team. So I will say this. I think Kida's going to have better NBA draft stock, but won't be as immediately impactful. And everything you said, like, he's going to impact the game, and there are ways you can utilize him, shot blocking, the mobility for sure, the athleticism, the finishing, all that stuff is going to translate. But given the age of players in college basketball right now, the physicality, we're going to talk about some other guys on this show, I think, that UNC is targeting. People are going to hunt him. People with legit post presences, with older players, with more physical players, they're going to look to go right at him, to go at his body, to see if they can take advantage of that high center of gravity. So that's going to be a question that he's going to have to answer. That, you know, long term, I don't think there's as much worry about that in terms of his NBA stock, but in terms of like the next year and the implications at North Carolina, that's going to be a challenge.
You know, I always say I was 230 soaking wet at my highest in the NBA. I guarded Joel Embiid, I guarded Dwight, I guarded all the bigs. I will gladly help him and teach him some tricks of the trade for a slender guys, if when he gets to town. So, you know, I'll hit Sean May up
in there. Let's get you in there.
I'll hit Sean May up and I'll hit some guys up and I'll come around and I can teach you some things about being slim down there. It's all about just keep, you know, for a guy like me, for instance, if I'm guarding Joel Embiid, I'm not 270. I can't wait for him to get below the free throw line. I gotta start hitting him. Stuff like that just to lessen the blow. So I'm there for him. So I'll be up on campus.
Need you.
Yeah, I'll be up on campus and, you know, I'll try to help a little bit because we have a similar build. Also, I looked it up, 9'3.5". So he's got an inch on me. So
That was your standing range.
Yeah, it's 9'3.5". So it's pretty close, actually. That's pretty nice. When I looked at my measurements, it kind of shocked me a little bit, actually. So maybe I was pretty good one day, back in the day. I don't know. UNC, they looked around at the, front court rotation with another international big man. UNC has contacted Joakim Boumtje. What a crazy, great name. I love that name. 16-year-old big man from Spain. Plays with Barcelona's youth team. 18. How does Barcelona get these soccer guys and these basketball guys? I don't know. You know, we'll figure that out later. But what can you tell about his game? Because of his age, is he a developmental project or does he come in and make an immediate impact?
Yeah, so this is what I would tell you. His dad, Ruben Boumtje, played at Georgetown, and he himself has already been in USA basketball minicamps. So although he plays in Spain, and he apparently has U.S. citizenship because we've seen him at USAB trials, and he's played well. I think the important thing to know, because now it is starting to circle that he's contemplating a move to play college basketball next year. This guy's still 16 years old. As we record this at the end of April, he is still 16 years old. He will not turn 17 until next month. Now, he's 7 feet with shoes on, not very long, got like just under 7'2" wingspan, not draft eligible because of his age for 2 years. So you're looking at a scenario where he would come in, kind of get his feet under him in year one and then potentially blossom in year two if everything goes according to plan. From an archetype perspective, he is a highly, highly skilled lefty big. So think like stretch five, similar stylistically to Vassar. Or at least you could use him in similar ways. You can pick and pop with him. He can grab and go. He can play out of dribble handoffs. The touch, the hands are very, very real. Now, as I said, he's still young and he's not a great athlete. Conditioning is still a work in progress. Physicality needs to improve. So I think it's a question of like, could he benefit from a developmental standpoint from being here? Absolutely. He would be tested and pushed and have the access to the weight room, which I think would be huge. And the skill set is his overlap of size and skill at his age is absolutely phenomenal. It's just a matter of the other stuff catching up. But I think the sophistication with which he plays offensively, which, you know, you can run all kinds of different stuff with him at, 16, 17 years old. There aren't any bigs in the country that can do that. So, I had said Keita would be the number one big in the 2026 class. Boumtje in 27 would also, I think, have a very real case to be the number one big in the country because of his combination of size and skill.
And it's looking like college teams are willing to pay for him to come and develop and then, hey, look, stay. I mean, you never know how the deals work out. I forget what school just signed a kid to a 2-year deal. Was it Kentucky maybe? But maybe you give him like
Those rarely get publicized. Yeah. I think there's more multi-year deals being signed behind the scenes than like because the contract details rarely get publicized. I think it's become more common. The question, like all these contracts, is what are the penalties if you break the contract? We heard out like Rob Wright supposedly had a contract signed at Baylor, and then he said, I'm going to BYU. What's the recourse if you break the contract? That we don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting. Like, maybe this could set a precedent, right? Like kids from overseas coming in, the college game, if you're good enough, can be an incubator because essentially he's doing that in Barcelona, but I bet we would pay a lot more for him to come here and be around campus and be on campus and be in classes, graduate early. I mean, it's interesting. And so besides
you, it's the Jaden Quaintance plan. Jaden Quaintance did this a couple of years ago. He reclassed up for the NIL money, even though he was too young to be one and done eligible. So he did it knowing that he would have to play 2 years of college basketball, or at least 2 years of basketball somewhere before he was eligible for the draft. So this would be very similar to what Quaintance did a couple of years ago.
Super interesting. I mean, if I could, I'd do the same thing. I'd get right up to college. So also, there, you know, the UNC's come up. Well, one more question. Boomche. UNC, Duke, obviously involved. Any other schools have you heard meddling around our Tobacco Road prospect?
You know, I think word is just starting to get out that he's contemplating the reclassification. It's somewhat counterintuitive because he is so young. So I think the assumption by many would be that he would be in the 2027 class. And in that world, he would have his choice. Like, this is someone who could go wherever he wants. You know, I think sometimes with the top prospects in the class or in the world at this case, we have a tendency to say like, oh, he's got offers or suitors from, you know, wherever, Duke, Carolina, yada, yada, yada. The best of the best are one phone call away from going wherever they want. So this is someone who in that, you know, in that breath could do that. If he were 27, I don't think there's anyone in the country who'd say, nah, we're not really interested. So word is just starting to get out at his age that he's contemplating a move to 2026. There are more and more schools that are trying to be creative because the big man market is drying up so quickly. We're seeing other reclassification rumors with high school players domestically in the class of 2027. So I think what you're seeing is places trying to get creative and kids contemplating options that they maybe other hadn't done before, just because of the amount of money and the need of the big man market.
U.S. has also come up kind of with older, more experienced European bigs, including 23-year-old French 7-footer Bryce Desert or Desert, because Desert has two S's. I'm not sure.
I think it's Desert. That's how they're pronounced.
Desert. Okay. Yeah. See. And 21-year-old Senegalese big man Momo Faye. I don't know. I'm sorry, guys.
I think we go Faye.
Yeah. Okay. Bryce Desert, I kind of did a little background YouTube. They say, you know, he's pretty good, and they say he could be a potential kind of future piece of French basketball. How good is he, as well as the Senegalese big man in Momo?
Bryce Desert has a chance to be hugely impactful in college basketball next year. First of all, he's already 23 years old, and apparently he's going to have 2 years of eligibility, or that's at least what people are speculating. 6'11", 7'4" wingspan, 250 pounds. So this is a full-grown man.
Big boy.
He is exceptionally efficient around the rim. I mean, he finishes everything and in a variety of different ways. So he's got great gravity as a roller. You can play it out of the dunker spot, extend it out to the short corner. You can do a lot of different things with him, but he knows how to put the ball in the basket anytime he's within 6 to 8 feet. He's also utilizes that frame to be a very good screener. He's a very good offensive rebounder. Again, he's got a broad build. I also think he's got like more feel and craft than the statistical portrait may allude to. Like, you watch him play, I think he's going to be able to play out of dribble handoffs. I think, again, someone who's 23 years old and has all this sort of international experience, he's played in advanced offensive systems. So I think for someone like Mike Malone, who's going to come in and have, you know, presumably a lot of advanced stuff that he's going to want to run, this is someone who can do that. So I would be very excited about him if I were a Carolina fan. Now, he's not a floor spacer yet, doesn't shoot threes, really physical post defender, not like super bouncy. I'd say he's a competent shot blocker, but not someone like Kita. So I think in that regard, this would be like a nice change of pace that you know, you have two very different types of center stylistically. And again, just a full grown man that you can put in the game at crunch time and know what you're going to get.
Need a guy like that too, because the way college basketball is built, I mean, look what Florida has coming back. You don't got no big boys down there. You're going to get to the pinnacle and not be able to compete. So,
and you asked about Fi as well. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Sure.
21 years old, 6'10", really long, reported wingspan 7'4", 7'5", according to various sources. 225 pounds from Senegal, a little bit of a naturally leaner frame though, super mobile, like elite rim runner. Like, this guy can really get up and down the floor. Looks like the road runner. That type of length and mobility gives him extreme defensive upside because of the way he can cover the court, because of the way he can, you know, shut down angles and things like that. He'll contest shots around the rim. He's a capable shot blocker. He's going to be capable of guarding, I think, both front court positions, be very switchable again because of the mobility. Now, offensively, he's a little more limited I think the hands are a little suspect. He's not like a step out and shoot kind of guy. So his activity and his mobility are going to be key factors there as well. But I think he could be a major defensive weapon.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Nice. So those are two prospects kind of UNC is looking at. So last question from an outsider perspective, Kaida comes in. He's a Princeton day one starter at the moment. Does UNC need to kind of land one of these other bigs? Or you think Kaida maybe from day one, they're going to have to throw him into the fire and let comes with May?
I think both things can be true. You know, like I don't think Keita's coming in with an understanding of anything but a notable role and a chance to play himself into next year's lottery. Like that's a reasonable goal for him, especially in a wide open 2027 NBA draft. But you look at this front line with him and Stevenson, and it does lack some bulk, some physicality. So I think finding that complement to him, whether it's in the international ranks with someone like Desaire, or whether it's somebody in the transfer portal that's potentially just undervalued, but continuing to build up that depth and finding some physical complements for a starting front court right now that is, you know, a little bit on the leaner side. I think that's an important part of the roster construction here. And based on their activities, I think they know that. I mean, listen, getting Vassar back would have been huge. But they had enough time to at least game plan out contingency plans. I thought that the being able to get Keita so quickly was really impressive, but it's not a one-for-one trade-off. You got to get one more piece in order to have the type of upside that you know, North Carolina fans want the program to have.
Yeah, well, a lot of pressure.
Unless you got eligibility, my man. You got that 9.5 standing reach.
Listen, I came in as a power forward. I didn't even play center. So count me out of that one right there. These centers these days, I mean, we had Big Z who was 7 feet 260. So I had someone to kind of throw at the big boys when I needed to.
Well, they could use you. You might have eligibility the way it's going now. I mean, you know, you get in there, get one more payday.
I could give them 10 minutes. I can give them 10 minutes right now. I give them a good solid 10 if the big boys get in foul trouble. But nah, thanks, man. I appreciate it. I know you're busy. As always, appreciate you for coming on. Love your inside expertise for UNC fans, high-level scouting, et cetera. Head of scouting at 24/7. Thank you so much. As always, thank you for watching on YouTube and listening wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to check out TarHeel247.com for the latest wall-to-wall coverage of Carolina Athletics. See you next time.
Criminal Minds Evolution is back on Paramount Plus.
Do you think it's possible to discern some hidden patterns shared by all serial killers?
With a new killer each week.
I see those wheels turning.
When a copycat killer emerges, the BAU will form a dark alliance with a familiar foe.
Elias, would you help us?
This season, evil is contagious.
Once it starts, it can't be stopped.
Criminal Minds Evolution. New season now streaming on Paramount+.